This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports to the Max continues. Looking back at the Vikings, looking ahead to the Timberwolves. Season starts Wednesday. I don't know that I recall a time when a team was in so much flux, turmoil as the Timberwolves this year. Going into a season, they've certainly had turmoil over the course of the 30 years. If you look back, Jimmy Butler's saga isn't that much different than what we've seen a lot of times in different ways. When this team franchise started, they took Pooh Richardson. Not everybody wanted Pooh. And away we go. And then, you know, J.R. Ryder was drafted. And some people said, don't take J.R. Ryder. Turned out to be a bad pick. And they could never get the number one overall pick. And everybody talked about that. They got to get lucky like Orlando got lucky with Shaquille O'Neal. Then they started getting number one picks, and that didn't matter. And in between, they got Garnett, and they got Marbury. And then Marbury said, you know, I understand that the league rules have changed and the union rules have changed, so you cannot pay me as much as you pay Kevin Garnett, but I still hate it, and I want to be traded because of it. That's the dysfunction that this organization has gone through for how long now? Trying to figure out blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter who's out there. And part of it is that this isn't, and then, you know, Flip Saunders comes back and he gets Garnett to come back for no other reason than they thought they'd have a chance to try to buy the team and run the team. Had nothing to do with improving the team, you know? And they get one sellout crowd out of that, and then Garnett decides he'll just play in the games that he wants to play. And leaves on bad terms with the owner, Glenn Taylor. I mean, it just goes on and on and on with this franchise. Part of it is that this is not a destination franchise. You have to win or have a superstar that's so good like LeBron James that you can make Cleveland a destination franchise where players want to play. But it's not L.A. It's not New York. It's not Miami. I don't know what else would qualify as one. I don't know if Golden State really qualifies because of San Francisco. Or if they just have good players right now. But the point is, at some point in time, unless a homegrown comes in here and just takes over, we have to accept the fact here in Minnesota that this is never going to be the kind of place where people just want to come and play. It's like saying, do you want to play in Milwaukee? Well, if you happen to draft the right players, they got the big kid, the Greek freak, they call him. Now, if he wants to stay, you can build around it and be competitive. San Antonio, same thing. Get a great coach that can do it. But you got to have one thing that just makes it go. And they don't have that here, and we have to accept that around here. But this Butler fiasco, I think that Jimmy really believes that that he's in the right, and he believes he's in the right because he intimated that he told people during the summertime, and he had numerous conversations with Tibbs, etc., that he wanted to be traded, but it didn't come out until right before the season, as if he had waited a long time and then right before the season said, hey, guess what, I want to be traded. I don't think it went down that way from his side. I think he had communicated to some that maybe he wanted out. At least that's the inference that he left. And I sat there with him with some of the other folks in the media yesterday when he talked for the first time and listened to this, and that was the inference that I got, that they should have known that I wanted out, that this wasn't a last-minute deal, that I didn't make some ploy or some power play at the end that they knew all along. That being said, Jimmy, you weren't traded. That means you're under contract. Get your butt into camp. He doesn't see it that way. Now, the question is, he comes back and is all forgotten. Is he just going to come back and play an opening night as if nothing happened? That's where I started it. Where are you at right now? You plan on playing Wednesday for the Timberwolves? Where are you at?
Man, I don't even know if I'm gonna be breathing tomorrow. Taking one day at a time. Coming here and get some work in, get into shape, make some shots, guard some people, see where we end up.
But do you intend to play Wednesday with this team?
I don't know if I'm gonna be able to play basketball tomorrow. So therefore, I can't tell you what Wednesday would bring. Plus, today is Sunday, so I need to be focused in on today.
That's the flip of Jimmy Butler, and that's who he wants to be. He wants that kind of image. I think deep down, there's somebody here that wants to be loved, that wants to be told by the organization that he's the best, that he's the man, that he's more important than Carl Anthony Towns or Andrew Wiggins. I think deep down, that's what he won't say, but I don't know that. That's just my opinion, not fact. And as much as you can as a reporter, you try to focus in on the facts. I know this, and I told you last week that this stuff happened. Some of you took note of it. Some of you did not. He does not have a problem with Andrew Wiggins, never has had. And he reached out last week to make sure that he clarified that with Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins talked about it yesterday.
All I know is, you know, when we start playing the real games, Jimmy's someone you want on your team. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, you know, people can say whatever, but at the end of the day, he's a winner. And I feel like no matter where he is, you know, he's here right now, and I feel like when he's here, he's going to give it his all on the court, because that's all he knows.
You and him have never really had any major problems, then?
Nah, we never really had no major problems. No problem at all. Even when it's... When everyone said all that stuff happened in practice, that nothing had to do with me. I was just there hooping, you know. But you know, everyone has something to say, and you know, once it's out there, then everyone has their own opinion, and the story gets broken down into 1,000 different pieces. But at the end of the day, we're all here to hoop. You know, it's always a plus to have Jimmy on the team. You know.
There you go. There's Andrew Wiggins' take on it, and I believe that to be true because I don't think Wiggins gets too caught up in anything. I think he's pretty laid back. I think he likes to hoop. I don't think that he's got a big fire. I don't think he gets into the personality issues of things. Carl Anthony Towns, that's a little bit different, I think. And we talked about a number of different things with him, with Butler. One of them is the start of the season. What does he expect from this team in the short term and some more?
Why do you think that?
I don't know. Why do you think that? Hey, I'm telling y'all, y'all special. You know that? I don't know. I think so, though. I have a weapon in my back pocket.
Did you see, I heard you and Carl sat down on Friday during the, I don't know, players only, or Thursday, the players only meeting. Did you guys talk anything out or anything?
I don't know. You got some questions on you, though, man. You went home and you was prepared for whenever
I came. Yeah, you want me to be prepared, right?
Yeah. Look, I told you, yeah, I wanted you to be prepared. Jeez. No, I can't remember what we talked about.
There you go. So that's what, the way Butler's going to play it. I understand he loves basketball. I think that that's probably true. And he tries to go back to that as his trump card. This is why I want what I want, because I just love the game so much. It's kind of an easy fallback position. But again, yesterday he reiterated that.
In basketball, in between those lines, everything is pure. Like, whatever is bothering me, if I step onto that floor, whether I'm working out by myself, I'm playing 3-on-3, 1-on-1, it's basketball. Like, I don't think about anything except for getting a stop, scoring a basket, getting it, whatever it may be. I just want to win. So whenever I'm out there, it's all about winning.
And I think that that's true, too. I think when he gets on the court, he's that way, and he brings out a certain dimension in this team that they sorely missed until he got here. You know, the ability to get guys to play hard, get in their face. Some guys can handle it, some guys can't. As I reported last week, you heard the Carl Anthony Towns earlier. I'm told that he and Towns did sit down and hash it out because they had some things that they had to go over, some things that were both probably professional and personal, but they had to get them out. They had to get him out. My opinion is that he sees $190 million thrown Carl's way, and even though he can't be offered $190 million right now, he still believes that he should get $190 million, much like I say with Marbury. With Garnett, I feel that he feels the same way, that there's a value attached based on on your contract, and even though he's not allowed to have that kind of contract tendered to him yet, he still believes that he deserves that. And that's why I think he goes back to, somebody needs to guarantee me that, somebody needs to, so that you can show me how much you love me. So that you can show me, because I am in the elite of the elite, and you all paid Carl and you all paid Andrew now. Where's my cut? How do I know that you love me? And I think that's the slippery slope that he's going down right now. Now, obviously, with this will come probably some interesting reaction from the fans, to which he anticipates.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead, boom it.
Yeah.
Ain't going to change the way that I play. That's going to make me smile more. So please, come on with it.
Jimmy, some of the criticism.
So there you go. He's been, I think he thinks sometimes that he's too smart for his own good, or that he's smarter than the system and he's not he's not able to circumvent a system or bring us into his trap like he did ESPN. He brought nothing wrong with what ESPN did. Jimmy Butler says, come on out and I'll do an interview with you. I doubt that they knew that he was then going to orchestrate, go to practice that morning, create a buzz, and then do the interview with ESPN. Maybe they did. Either way, you got to do the interview if he offers you the interview, you know? And this is an interesting dude, but you know, they're so interesting in the NBA. There's just so many people and so many backgrounds and so many ways that they got to where they are today that it just makes it really interesting. And they have so much money thrown at them and so much materialism that it's, I have no idea how you keep these guys motivated or get them to play as a team. I have no idea how as a coach you do that. When the contracts are this big, when the egos are this big, when you're set for life early in life financially, I don't know how you go about that. Tyus Jones did say he's good to have Jimmy back on the court.
We're just taking it a day at a time. And ultimately, we're trying to improve each and every day on the team. So today, we got better. And that's our goal every day is to keep taking steps forward. And, Jimmy helps us do that.
Oh, yes, he does. Wouldn't it be nice if they just said kumbaya? You know, I got a friend of mine, and he's a Wolves fan. Not a season ticket holder, but probably like a lot of you out there. He's a fan. And he says, you know, it's not about Jimmy Butler and all that stuff. He said, it's just I want to have a team that I can root for. I like the NBA. I like the way that it works, and I want to have a team that I can look forward to going to the game or have a conversation because they're in the hunt or want to listen to them on CCO radio or watch them on TV because that's a team that's worth watching and worth being interested in. That's all I want from the Timberwolves. I don't need the drama. I don't need to know why he doesn't like this or doesn't like that. The only thing that I'm disappointed in is I want to be a fan of the Timberwolves. I want to like this team. I want to invest myself in this team. I want to know when they play Golden State that they got a chance to win because then I'd go there on a Friday night and spend big money to go to the game because it'd be worth it because the NBA is entertaining and these guys are fun and entertaining. And that's why I'm disappointed and discouraged about the whole preseason for the Timberwolves. Is that that's it? You don't. I mean, you want to have a team that you go, boy, this will be fun to go out to the game. This will be fun to follow this team this year, and you don't have that. You know, we'll ask Ron Shera his thoughts on it. He it's much easier for him in his entrepreneurial life in the media because all he's got to do is cut a deal with. Wildlife, like kind of deal with the pheasants, you know. If you let me come in here where you live, I'll throw some corn out there for you, you know. He's not dealing with the big money or the big egos. You know, he tells the deer, same thing, you know. If I do a salt lick out here, I'll take care of you here, and then you tell me where I might be able to, better hunting ground kind of thing, you know. He's got that going. He doesn't, so we'll ask him to break this down. You heard from Tyus Jones there. I was at a wonderful event. On Saturday night, I had the great fortune of emceeing an event where they recognized Renee Pulley. Renee Pulley has been the summer basketball guru in Minnesota for 20-some years now. And he initially started with like pro-ams where good players could play there in the summertime. And then he moved on to the high school circuit where he put together an all-star team. And they became the Howard Pulley Panthers. They've traveled nationally for 20-some years now. So he had this... foray, they had a foray for him. Tony Yazbek and Errol Karlstrom did an outstanding job of putting it together so that people could come and pay their respects to Renee. And I couldn't believe all the people that showed up. Tyus Jones was one of them. He spoke. Troy Bell spoke, another first-round pick. Khalid Al-Amin was there. He talked. And on. It was just, it was literally when you got in there, you go, oh my gosh. I forgot how much talent there is in Minnesota basketball over the last several years because it's everywhere. Division I players everywhere. Brad Davison came all the way back from Wisconsin, where he goes to school, Madison, to because he had the weekend off or the day off to pay homage to. And as I emceeded, I looked at him and I said, Brad, we're really wondering about you at Wisconsin. We want you to get smarter, and we're not so sure that you go to Wisconsin because you have chosen to come here on a Saturday night to be with us instead of being on campus in Madison on a Saturday night in October. How smart can you be, right? What a great kid, though. He came back. This is Brad Davison I'm talking about. 4 hours just to say thank you to a guy that's helped him in his life, you know? His parents were there, but I thought, what a great, you know, class act, and the people of Maple Grove speak so highly of him. Great quarterback and guard there, now doing great things for the University of Wisconsin. But people there, they got it right, man. This kid's got something about him. And so many more were there. You know, Zach Goring and Jerry Klein sitting next to each other. They played against each other the state championship last year, coached against each other. You know, Richard Coffey was there, and Gabe Kelscher and Jared Thomas from the Gopher current basketball team. All had connections one way or another to Renee Pulley. And, you know, we talk about the downside of basketball, the Jimmy Butler situation. There's the upside of basketball. These kids coming back 20 years later to say, thanks for what you did for me, Renee. You got me exposure. I knew I could play a little bit. I didn't know how I'd do on the national scene. And before I know it, I had a scholarship, you know, because of the Howard Pulley Panthers. And we traveled around and we proved that Minnesota is indeed a very competitive basketball state. And we held our own against what were supposed to be the best teams in the country. Thank you for what you did for me. Sometimes we forget there's a lot of good that comes out of these games, too. And we've seen both. If you saw that banquet, and the next day, like I did Saturday night at the banquet, Sunday I'm talking to Jimmy Butler, and he's giving these flippant answers about, you know, whatever it is that he's trying to build with his brand, I don't know. But he's trying to portray himself a certain way, and you're reading through that, and it's not too hard to read through. It's pretty transparent. And you go, boy, those are two different basketball mindsets, aren't they? Take a break. Come back. Sports to the Max at WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Ron Scherer, not far away with Live Outdoors. You know, normally, we'll talk about this a little bit, but the migration comes usually around Halloween. That's usually when you start seeing these birds start to really migrate from Canada, but now everybody's telling me they're coming sooner than later. I think I was going to have to get out here this week to make sure to see if that hypothesis is true. But Ron and I will talk about that, and he did some fall fishing. And I said, go, you know, we talk obviously at length before we actually do the programs because we want to know what we're going to go over. And I asked Ron to compare fall fishing to summer fishing, and he said the same. He said exactly the same. I go to the exact same spots and I catch the exact same amount of fish. There lies the problem. I'll let Ron expand on that. Not far away. Then Sid Harmon I was on with yesterday, and he said, you know what? I've got a good idea. Why don't I come on your show at 8:05 tonight, and I'll talk to you. It's so much fun to see someone who has that kind of passion and is that engaged. 98 years old, folks. 98 years old, and a lesson to all of us about what can be done if you never quit getting up with a sense of purpose. 98 years old. I wish we could take him around and introduce him to young people that now, you know, it's not just young people that lack work ethic. It's all age groups. There's a lot of people that just don't want to work. They don't want to get after it. They almost, you know, that group of people that you feel like they want to get sick that day, so they've got a reason not to go into the office. We should send Sid Hartman to all those people. Say, yeah, I broke my hip when I was 96 years old. Here I am, baby. Still writing columns, still doing radio. How you doing? How you doing? Making sure you use all those sick days this year again? Oh, now I've got your attention. Yeah, some of you out there are going, well, that's me, but Max, you shouldn't really have to tell me about that. Somebody called in yesterday on the show, and they said, talking about people that play hurt and how sometimes you have to play hurt. There's a difference between playing hurt and playing injured. And I relayed the story of sitting with Bud Grant and saying, when Brett Favre was playing here, and saying, boy, Brett Favre, isn't that amazing that he never gets hurt all these consecutive games? He said, wait a sec, who said he didn't get hurt? There's a difference between he played, he has his consecutive game streak, and he never got hurt. He may have, I guarantee you, he said he's been hurt many times and he played through it. Sid Hartman plays through it, man. Age, physical things that take him back a step, still plays through it. What a lesson he is, not just in my life, but to everybody. Ron Scherer's approaching that same thing. I mean, the milestones aren't quite the same, but he's still able to get out, you know, and fish and hunt. And like I said, he told me summer fishing, fall fishing, results have been exactly the same for him. I don't know what that means. Live Outdoors coming up next on WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.